You know, I always like to listen to the words, the songs that we'll be singing right before I get this pleasure to preach. And this week I just meditated on those words over and over again. It says, "You can have it all, Lord." Every part of my world. And this week I just thought, man, is that really what you want? Can God really have it all? Can you willingly give up every part of your world to seek after him? I mean, that every part of my world is under his control, recognizing that he knows best. And that I have to trust him with everything. If you want predictable, if you want easy, if you want a guarded life, you might want to reconsider following this guy called Jesus. Because a life controlled by Jesus is anything but predictable. It can get dangerous, thrilling. It's most of the time unpredictable. It's kind of a crazy way to live. But at the end of the day, there is nothing that will satisfy your soul. There's nothing. Nothing that will fill the voids. There is nothing like living a life fully surrendered to God. You will never, ever be alone. And you never have to fear. In the face of death, in the joy of life, you get it all. With a measure that you can't even fathom. And so this morning, think hard and deep about what it means to follow Jesus. The path is crazy, but he is good. And he will be with you every step of the way. So let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, you know my heart is just all over the place this morning. But we trust you, Father. In the midst of the difficult stuff, we trust you. In the midst of all the joy, we thank you. And Father, we just pray that, Lord, today, that we'll take a little more of that life you've given to us and hand it over to you and let you be in control. Because while we don't always understand, well, it doesn't always feel the way we want it to. Lord, we know that your ways are the best. And we know that your truth will guide us through. God, we love you. We praise you. We honor you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we wrap up a message series. It's called Love Does. And more than learning about love, more than thinking about love, my prayer for you is that over the last few weeks that you have experienced love in some fun and exciting ways, maybe even a little bit crazy, you know, maybe, you know, through taking popsicles to kids at a park or handing out water bottles or lemonade stands or working at BBS, whatever it is, I hope that you've experienced the exciting truth of what it means to live a life of love. But the challenge doesn't stop because the sermon series is over. These small acts of kindness and love that we've been trying to get you to do over the last several weeks, really it's just a jump start into what Bob Goff, the author of the book Love Does, calls great love capers. that we throw ourselves completely into love. It's an exciting adventure. It's a way of living life fully engaged in all that's happening, a life devoted to doing stuff that demonstrates that we love God and we love others. And this week, I have seen love in action in some pretty amazing and profound ways. And while some of you know or have heard about some of the events of this past week, and obviously Devin shared some, and thank you so much for the prayers, I thought that it would actually just be good, because I know not everybody knows the details, and it's kind of amazing how God has been in the details this week. So I thought I would kind of update you and share with you a little bit of the story of my week. The week that, you know, was probably the most difficult yet beautiful couple days of my entire life. And so I thought I would just share with you, give you a little timeline, and then interject how God demonstrated incredible love through people. You know, my sister Debbie, many of you have met her, some of you never have, but she is, she's everything that people say she is, and has been a pretty amazing spark of God's love in the world. And for those of you who haven't known her, she's had a 12-year battle with cancer. Cancer sucks, and it's like this physical manifestation, I think, of what sin does. It gets inside and eats away, you know, and destroys things. And at the same time, many of you know that our daughter Brianne, I think there's a picture of Debbie up there somewhere. Yeah, that's her. So, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have put that up. I like it because when you got around her, you had to be crazy. Because she would bring out the best in you. But some of you also know, okay, take that one down because I'm staring at it. Yeah, thanks. At the same time, many of you know that our oldest daughter, Brianne, was expecting our first grandbaby. And he was being stubborn and wasn't showing up on time. Kind of a little like his mom. I can say that this week. She'll be here next week. So, but last Friday was Brianne's due date. And nothing was happening, but we knew that my sister wasn't doing really well and had talked to my brother-in-law, Tim, and we decided that we were going to run up on Saturday to Santa Maria where they lived, knowing that it's just a two-hour drive and labor takes a lot more than 2 hours usually, so we thought we were safe. And then Brianne said she wanted to go too. And so we're thinking, well, how do we take a gal that's, you know, overdue, throw her in a car and drive her a couple hours each way in one day, and how's that going to work? And, you know, we told them, well, they couldn't drive themselves. They need to drive with us so that if something crazy happened, that mom could be with her and calm her down, and I could figure out where in the world we could find a hospital or something. But it was a great day. Last week ago from Saturday, we had a great day together as a family. Our entire family, and that's no small feat, was together with my sister and got to just spend an amazing day. All of the nephews and nieces got to spend time. And you know what love does is each one of those kids spent time with her, and she just, in her state, just poured out love on those kids. Because basically, that's what love does. Even when you're hurting, love gives you the capacity to pour out God's grace and love on other people. And that's what she did. So we came home hoping that a baby was going to be born. And we were there a couple days. And on Wednesday, we got a call again from my brother-in-law that Debbie wasn't doing well and that she'd been moved from care at home to back to the hospital, and things were digressing kind of quickly. So Bran, still not in labor, but you know, it was only 2 hours away, so we said, let's drive up. And so we drove up, and I spent that whole night with my brothers and my brother-in-law in the hospital with my sister. And through that evening, a whole evening where she was kind of in and out, and she tried to get some rest. And we tried to get my brother-in-law to get some rest. We had some amazing moments of just reliving life and allowing us to have these amazing pictures of all the adventure that we had because of the place that Jesus had in our lives. And it was really fun when they gave her some medication. She got kind of loopy and crazy and shared really weird stories. But it was just kind of her way. And so, and that was Wednesday night. On Thursday, we got a call from Brianne that they're going to take her to the hospital at midnight, and then on Friday morning early that they were going to induce her. So we, you know, my sister had told me, don't you dare miss the birth of this baby to be here. And so she kicked me out. So we headed home to be with Brianne and prayed with her on late Thursday night. And then at 4:15 in the morning, on Friday morning, we got a call from my brother-in-law, Tim, that Debbie went home to meet the Lord. And there was a lot of tears. But the lot of tears didn't last very long, because almost immediately after that, we found out that probably within minutes of my sister passing, Brianne's water broke. And Brenda and I are laying there in bed going, is this really happening? You know, like, what's this all about? And so we got to the hospital in the morning to see Brianne, you know, before all that pushing and crazy stuff happens. And as we're visiting with her and with family, I looked over at the little board on the wall that has nurse's information, and this is what I saw. See the nurse's name? There's the next slide. You know, I thought, God gave us little amazing pictures all the way through that he was with us and that he was in control and that he's guiding the process. And, you know, I don't think things just happen by chance. And God was just giving us another reassurance that he had things well under control, even though life was just an absolute wreck for us at the moment. And then after 17 hours of labor, then this little guy entered the world. So, yeah. Carter Jameson Dowding was born. Yeah, he is every bit that cute. So, you know, so Friday, yeah, leave that one up for a while. Friday, July 29th, in that one day, I felt every emotion possible in a day, literally within like 18 hours. Every emotion that is human, I think, just like ran like a freight train through my life. And when that happens, you know, to be honest, there's these moments of just total numbness. Many of you know what that feels like, where you just don't know how in the world any of this is possible. It's hard enough to find your car at the hospital parking lot, let alone pile on all this stuff. But in the midst of it, God is good. You know, the numbness is there for a reason. But more than anything, we realized so many amazing things that you know, things like the fact that my sister was great at making sure we never forgot an important date. So she decided we would never forget the date she went to heaven, because it's the same date that God brought the joy of Carter into our lives. And, you know, during this whole ordeal, you know, the question that you have to ask over and over again is, when it all happens, when life just happens, what are you going to hold on to? What is it that's going to help make sense when everything around you is just spinning and you know that there is no way that you're in control? What is going to be your anchor at that moment? And let me tell you this, if it's not Jesus, the anchor will fail you. Because only Jesus is strong enough to handle all of that. And so during the whole old ordeal, I saw love in action. I saw what we've been preaching about for 4 weeks, that love does. I saw it in friends. Many of you, friends of our family who just poured out love and messages and were with you, were praying for you, and that's amazing. Friends at my sister's church who, you know, just constantly overwhelmed us with love and bringing food and coming to the hospital and just everything. They sat with us. They encouraged us. And like we talked the first week in the series, you know what? Love just says, I'm with you. And people were just with us. And some of you guys were just there with us. And we thank you for that. I saw it in nurses. I mean, wow. Those of you who are nurses in the room, just thank you for what you do. I can't say enough about the nurses. You know, my sister, after 12 years, knew almost all the nurses in the hospital. And they had a steady stream of nurses that weren't just there because they were working, but were there because they wanted to be. And they wanted to be with Debbie. And I watched all of them. One of them went and stole a box of popsicles from the kitchen at the hospital because they knew that it was my sister's favorite. You know, so we got to mash them up and feed her popsicles. And we had a popsicle party for her right there in her room because one of the nurses remembered that that's what she loved the most. And so sometimes it's just remembering what brings joy to people's life and just making a little gesture that says, you know what, I can do that. Doctors, my sister's doctor came in and I watched once again because every time my sister met with her doctor, not only would he listen to what was going on with her, but she would ask him, how are you doing today? And he would tell her and open up his life to her. And every time, she would just say, doctor, I'm going to pray for you. And she would, right there, on the spot. And one of the last times he came in, and she was getting close to the end of things, she just says, doctor, I need to pray for you. And then he just reached over. And after 12 years of being with her, he just said, no, Deb, today I need to pray for you. And he prayed an amazing prayer for her. And she dramatically impacted his life in amazing ways. I saw love in action in our family. Number one, just being together. But then, right after all of this happens with my sister, I'm sitting at the hospital, and I get a phone call from my brother-in-law, and he says, how's Brianne doing? How are things going? I said, well, she, you know, she's going along. She's dilated at 8 or whatever it was, and he says, okay, we're on our way. I said, you're what? And he says, Yeah, we're all coming. Which is kind of crazy if you know our family. They kind of overtook Los Robles. But again, that's what love does. And I'm pretty sure that Debbie threatened him. That if he didn't get there, that she would do something from heaven that he'd regret. I don't know. But they drove, all of them to come and to be with us. Because being with people is what love does. Then there's crazy little things, like the fact that I ran back to take a shower and got a flat tire, you know, in Brenda's car. And Andrew, the tire guy, must have read Love Does. Because after all the other places that didn't have the tire that we need, Andrew, even before he knew the story and all the craziness that we were going through, Andrew just showed grace and just said, don't worry about any of this. We got you covered. We'll take care of you. You know? And I thought, you know, whatever your job is, if you're a nurse, if you're a tire guy, if you're, you know, a lawyer, a plumber, a teacher, whatever it is, when we pour out love and grace on people, we're displaying the love of Jesus. And you never know what someone who crosses your path might be going through that day. You never know how raw their emotions might be. You never know that they might be at the point at which their heart is open to hear the message of Jesus. And so on all occasions, be ready to display love to other people. And your day might not be going well, but in your dealings with other people, if you will display love, you have the opportunity to bring Jesus into the life of somebody else. They may not accept Jesus on the spot, but you can display Jesus' love to them. You know, common courtesy, it just goes a long ways. And so we, especially as people who are following a God who gave his life for us, we need to display courtesy and love and graciousness and peace to people that we come in contact with every single day, because common courtesy is just not the norm anymore. But love does that. Love puts other people before themselves. And man, I watched that in ways that I never could have imagined this week. I watched Debbie, like I said, pray for her doctors. She said thank you to every nurse and assistant that walked into her room. Even when they're administering junk into her IV that nobody wants, she's thanking them. She sat down with each one of her kids and explained to them that at the end of the day, that this isn't God's plan, but we win. And how she expected each and every one of them to follow Jesus so that they could be together again. And my brother-in-law, Tim, I watched what it really means for a guy to lay down his life for his wife. I watched him really, truly love my sister and demonstrate that in amazing ways, ways that most people would run from. And he was there every moment, doing all kinds of things, making sure that she felt special to the very, very end. You see, love is only real when it's moved to action. We can talk about it all day long, but unless it's moved to action, then it really doesn't mean a thing. And I thank you for the love and all the prayer and all of your support for my sister and for our family. And I promised my sister that I would, because she helped me with some of this. We were talking, and she helped me with some of this illustration. I was telling her, she says, what are you preaching about? And so we're talking about this stuff. And so she gave me this great illustration because in my sister's house, let me see here, I got this somewhere. In my sister's house, there are these boxes, and there's a closet full of them. Some of you who have had little girls in your house, you may know what these are. It's called a Madame Alexander doll. And I found out by going online last night that this one's worth a lot of money now. But there's a picture of it. And she had all these dolls that my mom had got her. But here's something really interesting: is these dolls, they stay in their box. I mean, it's a doll. And my sister had a bunch of them, but wasn't allowed to play with them, right? I mean, they're these really nice, really kind of expensive, these kind of keepsake kind of dolls. And again, they just kind of sit there in their box. And, you know, you try to keep them as close to their original state as possible. You know, you make sure that, but you don't dare let them out of the box because they might get dirty, they might get, you know, something might happen to them. And my sister, she had a lot of these, but she had kind of this love-hate thing for them because she loved that they were cute and pretty and all this other stuff, but she wasn't allowed to play with them. And on the other hand, we have these other things that some of you may have seen before. These are my friends here. This one here is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. I love he does this little thing. You can tell I'm grandpa in training now, right? So, and then I got Captain America, and he has his shield. And he's got a shield, and you know, you can throw it, and he says stuff.
Back off, Tony.
Yeah.
Soldier, stand down.
So, you know, and here's the thing, is the these crazy things, these aren't dolls. Okay, you know what they call these things, right? Action figures. Action figures. And you know why they call them action figures? Because they do stuff. And when you're a kid, he's still talking. You know, you can do stuff with these guys. And you don't worry about them getting, in fact, they're supposed to get a little bit dirty and banged up. And some of their parts are supposed to get a little messed up. And, you know, as I was chatting, oh, sorry, I don't know what I'm pushing. I'm chatting with my sister. We're talking, realizing that if somebody was to take a look at your life and to create a model, a figure of what your life would be, especially your Christian life, would you be a doll or an action figure? Would you be something that just kind of stays in your box because it's easy to maintain and control, that it's safe, that you might not get hurt? Or would you be an action figure that goes out and does stuff, and you might lose, I don't know, you might lose a limb or something might happen, I don't know. But the question is will you be a doll or are you going to be an action figure? And I think God's created us not to sit in our boxes, but to be an action figure. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, love is about action. It's about doing stuff. And sometimes it means that you have to let go of stuff. You know, when Jesus' first disciples came to follow him, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 20, it says, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw these two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen, because that's what fishermen do. And he says, come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once, they left their nets and followed him. They left their nets and followed him. You see, if you're going to follow Jesus and love people, you might have to let go of some stuff. There might be stuff that some of you are holding on to because you're trying to live life in the box and make sure that it's safe. Make sure that, you know, everything's taken care of, it's in order, it's all those things. But God might be calling you out to be an action figure. And you might have to let go of some stuff in life in order to fully follow Jesus. And at the end of the day, in order to love God and love others, you're going to have to do stuff. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, which you'll have to skip to the end there, says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech. Saying it is nice, but with action and truth. And so the question for us today is this, is do we think about love, do we talk about love, or do we act on it? Do you know your neighbors? Do you know them well enough to know their needs, their hurts, their joys? Do you know the other people? I mean, in a church family, sometimes we don't know the person that sits on the other side of the auditorium. But do we know each other well enough to know their hurts, know their joys, so that we can rejoice with the ones that rejoice and mourn with the ones that mourn? I mean, do you know the deep needs of one another? Because that's what love does. Love doesn't stay in our nice little neat boxes. Love goes out of its way to know one another, to be with one another, to understand the needs and the hurts and the hopes and the joys and the sorrows and everything of one another so that we can love, so that we can do stuff that says, we're with you, we love you, we'll be with you. And our family has felt that so much this week. And we thank you so much because so many of you, you know. But there's so many people in our own church family, in your neighborhoods, in your workplaces, that have not experienced that kind of love. And I do not know what people do if they don't have faith and they don't have a church family. And maybe today you're here and you don't have a church family. Maybe here and you don't know about this Jesus that loves us so much that he went to the cross and died for us. But if that's you this morning, I want you to know that in the midst of the chaos of life, and everything else, there is one thing that can bring you hope. One thing that in the midst of the craziest times of your life will bring you through, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything else will fail you. Jesus never will. And that's why we desperately need him, and why we desperately need to do stuff that demonstrates his love to other people. So, are you going to be a doll or an action figure? Because my hope is that you'll get out there and that you'll do stuff that shares Jesus with the world the way my sister did and the way that we hope little Carter does. Because in sharing love, we share Jesus. That's it. We just share Jesus. So today, if you don't know him, I would love to introduce you to him because he will give you hope. He will give you peace. He will give you comfort. He can be everything for you. Don't leave this place without knowing him, because if you do, even though you think you know where you're going, you're lost. So let Jesus in. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, thanks for your love. Thanks for your church family. Father, thanks for demonstrating to us the ultimate gift of love through your son, Jesus. And thank you, Father, that you are with us always. That, Father, from the moment of our first breath to the moment of our last, that, Lord God, you are with us, you guide us, you direct us, you protect us. God, you give us grace. And Father, you have a place for us. God, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.